Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate you supporting this channel and this content and myself. We are going through self-sabotage. How to stop self-sabotaging. What is it? How do you stop it step by step? Stick around to the end, guys. I'm giving you literally real coaching right now. Just hit my microphone. I'm giving you real coaching right now. How to understand what self-sabotage is and why you're doing it. And again, how you can actually stop doing it in a step-by-step fashion. So before I do, guys, quick favor, if you could like the video and subscribe, leave a review. It helps me tremendously. It helps me fulfill my purpose and helps me help more people, impact more people, change more lives. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And without further ado, let's rip straight into it. So what is self-sabotage? Now, I've got a definition that not everyone would understand, but I'm going to share it with you guys right here. So this is how I define self-sabotage. I actually don't believe you ever self-sabotage. All you ever do is realign to who you see yourself to be. Now, what does that mean? Let's use an example. So say you've got a belief within you that you're not lovable because you had some trauma with mom or dad, you had some bad breakups, you had some bad relationships or whatever it may be. And say you've downloaded the belief or the limitation that you're not lovable. And then you get into the dating world and you start to go on dates, you start to swipe on some dating apps and you get into a relationship. But because you believe and you have a belief that you're not lovable, you will find things that aren't there to reaffirm that you're not lovable and ultimately ruin the relationship, or what people call self-sabotage, self-sabotage the relationship to reaffirm that you're not lovable. Because this is one of the most dangerous things of the ego. The ego has two traits. Number one, it always wants to be right. It wants to prove itself right, even if it's limiting. If you believe you're not enough, you're not worthy, you're a piece of shit, you're a loser, you don't deserve XYZ, your ego will make that true. And it's very slippery because it's what keeps people in that sort of hamster wheel of always almost achieving what they want to achieve. There's a quote that I love. The biggest addiction is something that always almost works. Almost works. So if you want to achieve goals, I see this a lot with high achievers, business owners, entrepreneurs, or people that just have goals. And I definitely put myself in that category. And I experienced exactly what I'm about to tell you right now, is that if you have a fundamental belief that you're not enough, there's two ways people can play out beliefs. There's an active and there's a passive expression of it. The passive expression is you become the belief. So if you're not enough, you become an underachiever. You don't do anything. You don't start the business. You don't go ask that girl or guy on a date. You don't start the podcast. You don't write the book. You don't whatever. You just don't do anything. And you become an underachiever because you're not good enough. You're not enough. You make it true. Now, the second one, and this is where it can get a little bit more deceiving, because from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like this. But trust me, I've worked with millionaires, successful people, entrepreneurs, all walks of life. And it's very, very present with everyone, is that if you don't believe you're not good enough, you can have the active expression. And what that looks like in this case, it can look like you going out and trying to achieve as many things as you can, have all the money, all the cars, all the women, or men, all the houses, the status, the titles, the accomplishments, the accumulations, to try show the world and prove to yourself that you are enough. But like I just said, the biggest addiction is something that always almost works, because you'll never fill that void. It's a mirage that you'll never arrive at. I'll be happy when, I'll be successful when, and you never arrive. It's like a mannequin changing its clothes. So say your mannequin, or who you are, your identity, is someone who's not enough. You might change outfit and have a Ferrari, or have a beautiful, gorgeous partner, the most beautiful woman or man on the planet. Or you might have $1 million in your bank account. Or you might have the beautiful mansion. Or you might have the a million followers on Instagram. Whatever it is, whatever the outfit is, the mannequin hasn't changed. And this is why self-sabotage is so common. And so it's one of the biggest things. When I got into the sort of coaching space I'm in now, I wasn't like, okay, my mission is to solve self-sabotage. It's definitely a big part of what I do. But I didn't realize how common it is. But it is. And that's why a lot of my content people love when I talk about self-sabotage. It's why I'm running events literally just to show people how to solve that. It's one of my courses and programs, that's one of the most common results that I get for people is they stop, quote, self-sabotaging because they shift at a subconscious level the identity and the beliefs that they have about themselves. If you believe you're not enough, there is no fucking strategy or no goal on the planet that's going to solve that. If you see yourself as an overweight person, there is no fucking diet plan, no training program on the planet that will get you long-lasting results. You might get quite a little bit of motivation because someone's motivated you or someone said something to you or whatever it is, you got hit. It's a New Year's resolution. But if you don't fundamentally change that coding within your subconscious that you're an overweight person, then you will always come back to, or self-sabotage to come back to, how you see yourself. And that's such a slippery, it's a fun, I think it's fun to play it because that's essentially the game I play with my clients. I'm finding those limitations, obviously bringing awareness to them with a lot of love and compassion and empathy, but then dissolving the limitation. You'll only rise to your lowest constraint. And I'm throwing a lot of analogies at you guys, but I know you can keep up. So that's how I view it. That's the first point. I'm going to share a story with you, which will hopefully hit this home. So I had a beautiful client. I won't use her name. I'm going to call her Sarah. So I was working with this beautiful client, Sarah. And there's a quote that I love. The degree that you resist reality is the degree that you suffer. I'll say that again. To the degree that you resist reality is the degree that you suffer. So the ego, like I mentioned before, one of its main traits is it wants to be right, and it also wants to avoid pain. And there's something I love teaching is you've got three things. There's traumas, traumatic reactions, and triggers. So when you go through something that was, quote, traumatic, and you haven't healed through it, you're going to have things that trigger that trauma within you, which is the traumatic reaction. So back to the quote that to the degree that you resist reality is the degree that you suffer. All I'm looking for is resistance. So when I'm talking with a client, one of the things I'm obviously listening to them, I'm actively listening from a place of love and empathy and compassion, but I'm also listening for resistance. So this client, Sarah, she is a sales leader of about a team of 15. And she told me, we were on a call together, and she said, Lewis, I always get nervous to present in front of my team. I always get nervous to do a team training to upskill my team. There's another quote that aligns with what I'm saying. Past hurt informs future fear. So that past hurt or that trauma, until you've healed through it, you're going to perpetuate that hurt into the future because you don't want to experience that hurt anymore. And that's why you try to control things. If you know anyone who tries to control everything and they're a control freak, it's because they've had past hurt and they don't want to experience that hurt anymore. So they try to control everything so it increases the chance of them not experiencing that same hurt. Gets a bit slippery. I hope you're keeping up with me right now. So this client, Sarah, she was getting nervous for speaking in front of her team. And so we did a session. I said, okay, Sarah, close your eyes. I do like a meditation, a breath work, a centering practice before I do my work with my clients. And I got her to sink in, get super present, super grounded, super loving. And I asked her the question. I said, Sarah, take me to the very first memory and experience that you had of being embarrassed or feeling pain in front of others. Because for me, that's what I thought the trigger was. And she started to get a bit emotional. And she said, I was in year five. She was 5 years old. So in year one or year two, whatever it was, prep. And the teacher did this beautiful exercise. I thought this exercise was really cute. The teacher hands out cards to all the kids, all the little babies, all the little kids. And on the card, the kids had to write down how they viewed themselves. So how do you view yourself? And then then you give the card back to the teacher. And then the teacher reads out the card and the class has to guess who the person is. Now, I think that's a really cute exercise. I thought that was really adorable. However, on the card, there was two lines. And on the lines, on the first line, Sarah wrote down, I'm pretty. On the second line, she wrote down, nice to others. So I'm pretty, nice to others. And then the teacher pulls up this card and he reads out just the first line. I'm pretty. And the whole class starts to laugh. And the teacher herself said, this person must love themselves a bit too much. Not a good thing to say to a fucking 5-year-old, right? And anyways, this client of mine, Sarah, cries her eyes out, runs out of the room. Now you can see how that past hurt was perpetuating that into the future. So past hurt informs future fear. So anyways, I got her to get super, super present. And I said, Sarah, what was the in that moment of pain, in that moment of embarrassment or whatever you felt, what was the decision that you made about yourself? Because that in those moments, that's when we download beliefs or limitations that become the constraint which cause us to self-sabotage. Rewind what I just said just then. So I asked her, what was the belief or the meaning that you decided in that moment? And she started getting emotional, started crying even more. And she said, I'm worthless. Now, feel that for a little bit. Feel that as a five-year-old. Think of living a life. So she was, I believe, 35. And this is from 5 years old. So she's been living in her reality because of her ego has the belief that she's worthless for 30 fucking years. And then she would quote self-sabotage her trainings in front of her team because she's operating through the belief with the belief that she's worthless. So what I did is we did the dissolving exercise. So I dissolved limitations. That's one of the signature things that I do for my clients. We dissolved it. It takes about 20 minutes. Doesn't actually take that long, to be honest. But 20, 30 minutes, did the dissolving. All done. Got her to come back to the present moment. Beautiful. I said, Sarah, how do you feel? She's like, oh my God, I feel lighter. And you could see her shoulders dropped. Her skin looked amazing. She looked alive. She looked healthier. She looked younger. And she was just like in a place of love and awe. And I was like, how beautiful is this? And I asked her, I said, when's your next sales training, like for your team? That obviously that's where we started this conversation. I said, when's your next training for your team? She's like, oh, it's on tomorrow. I said, well, how do you feel about it right now? She's like, oh my God, I feel excited. I feel like I can't wait. Like, I'm going to crush it. I'm like, how beautiful is that? So that's a live example of what I'm talking about. You never self-sabotage. You just realign with how you view yourself to be. So if you're taking action, which is what most people do in this physical reality of setting goals, taking action, chasing goals, I'm not saying don't do that. I do that every single day. I'm filming a podcast. It's part of my outcomes today. So I still do that. But if you're a mannequin that just keeps changing outfits, thinking that's going to solve your quote problem to make you feel good enough, to make you feel loved, to make you feel accepted, to make you feel enough, you will never arrive, my friend. You will never arrive. You must identify these limitations within you and heal through them and process through them or dissolve them, because you repeat problems until you learn the lesson that it's there to teach you. So how do we do it? How do we actually do that? So I've got three steps for you, or three pillars that will help you, quote, never self-sabotage again. Number one is to heal. So that's kind of the example of a story that I've been sharing with my client, Sarah. So that's the example there of healing. How do you heal? I've done podcasts on this. I've done a ton of content on this. Healing is a huge conversation. There's so many different modalities to heal. I do that for my clients. You can go do quote traditional therapy. You can get a Reiki healer, an energy healer, a sound healer, a breathwork facilitator. You can do plant medicine. You can do sound healing. There are so many ways to heal. Find your way. I've got my ways. I've got three main tools that I use with my clients, but find your way to heal. Number two is planning. So this is not just the sort of woo-woo energetic side of things. There's also the strategic side of things. Planning, like actually having a plan of what to do, because complexity is the enemy of execution. So if you don't know what the fuck you're doing and how to actually take your goals and actually reverse engineer them and actually have clarity of what to do, then you'll beat yourself up, you'll be confused, you'll be overwhelmed, and you won't take action. So it's important to have a plan. And this is the planning process I do. We get clear on your values. That's the first thing I do with my clients. What's your purpose in life? What's your mission? What's your vision? What's your vehicle to get there? So if you want to go from Australia to New Zealand, you don't want a car. You probably want a plane or a jet or a helicopter, right? So you need a vehicle, a business model, or a career pathway to help you fulfill your mission. Then we break it into a plan. What are we doing in the next 3 years, 2 years, 12 months, quarter, month, week, and day? So then you've got absolute clarity of what to do. And then the third step to just add on to self-sabotage is learning the skills. Now, because if you don't know how to sell and you just keep screwing up your sales, and you might call that self-sabotaging, I wouldn't necessarily call that self-sabotaging, you're learning. But to speed that process up, go learn the skills. Go learn the skills that you're currently missing. How to market, how to sell, how to communicate, how to set boundaries, how to love, how to be vulnerable, how to put the walls down, or whatever it may be. Go learn those skills. Those are my three steps. I hope you got value from this. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in working with me, if you like my vibe, you like my energy, you're looking for a coach, there's a link down below to check out my services and what it is that I do. I want to thank you for coming to the end of this podcast. If you could share this with a friend, like if you haven't already, subscribe if you haven't already, leave a comment down below. It truly, truly helps out more than you recognize. And I appreciate your time. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.